The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. Welcome to Happy Hour. So tonight we're going to do loving kindness meditation. We're going to start where it's easy. That is often the benefactor or another loved being. And we're also going to do loving kindness for ourselves, which sometimes can be complicated or not so easy or not so straightforward. And loving kindness can certainly help with this. Because to truly love ourselves, to truly kind of accept ourselves, we have to be open to our wholeness, all aspects of ourselves, everything. So if we are living in a story that we've created, it may be perfectly legitimate that we come up with this story due to events of our lives or of our family, our culture. But if we have a story of a limited, incomplete self, then that's not love. It's not complete love, let's say that. So to love ourselves, we have to know all aspects. And to be open to all aspects. This means we also need to challenge any beliefs that we have that somehow we have to be different, better, improved before we can love ourselves. And this is where mindfulness practice can help. Mindfulness can help us see where we may have these beliefs that we need to be different. It may help us become sensitive to where there's maybe parts of ourselves that we're trying to excise and ignore. I've done a lot of that in my life, let me say. And the more I practice, the more whole I feel and the more contentment I feel, the more ease I feel in the world, the more satisfaction I feel. But it takes courage and it takes practice, right? It's easy for me to just sit up here and say, kind of, go look at the whole of your life. But it's a journey. It's part of the reason why we meditate. Maybe not the only reason, but part of it. So rather than embarking on self-improvement projects that may take up all our energy and take up all our focus, we can look at our relationship towards what is, our relationship towards our behavior, our relationship towards our thoughts, our relationship to our ideas about ourselves, and see if we can notice when we're being critical, just notice when we're being harsh, notice when we're not being loving and accepting towards ourselves. And often just that noticing can be enough. Things can start to shift a little bit. Because when we notice this self-critical voice that many of us have been socialized with, we can notice some of the restriction or some of the tightness around it and how it doesn't actually lead to greater freedom. It doesn't actually lead to a better life, even though we may think that it does. Of course we think it does. Otherwise we wouldn't be doing it, right? But a self-critical voice can just be a habit and kind of like spurring us on into, you know, more, 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 better, 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 strive, strive, strive. You're failing. It turns out that's actually not the way to have greater ease in the world. It's not the way to find and nurture the best aspects of ourselves. Part of the reason is because the self-critical voice kind of leads to self-preoccupation, leads to a little bit of self-obsession in some way. That's not what we're about. That's not what we're practicing here when we're trying to practice love for ourselves. Metta, loving kindness, love for ourselves is about openness. It's about acceptance. It's about seeing things clearly. It's not about passivity. It's not about just accepting everything and thinking like, oh, I can just lay on the couch and eat bonbons now. It's about when we see things clearly with a sense of openness, then it becomes clear often. It can, it will. Like, what's the best way forward? And there's room for our wisdom to arise. We all have wisdom. We just need to make room for it. We need to make space for it to arise and to be clear. So loving kindness practice is a way that we can start to shift that inner critic, that voice. It starts to soften it, diminish it. Maybe it doesn't arise as often, this critic. Maybe it doesn't arise as strongly. Maybe it goes away, and maybe the opposite arrives. A lot of people report this with loving kindness practice, that then they start to have a voice that is very quiet voice in the beginning that's saying, that's okay, I love you anyway. When we make a mistake, when we notice that we're blundering with something. So mindfulness practice can help us see clearly, and metta, loving kindness practice, can kind of help shift that inner voice, our relationship to what's happening. These two practices can definitely support each other. So this evening, I'll start with a little bit of mindfulness practice to help us get settled. Then we'll do loving kindness towards what we conventionally call a benefactor. That is somebody who supports us, or it's somebody for whom it's easy to love, feel loving feelings. Classically, that has been somebody who has helped us in our life or has supported us. If there isn't anybody who comes to mind, you don't have to find the perfect person, but if there isn't anybody who comes to mind, then you can use a lovable being. It doesn't have to be a person. There's quite a few Dharma teachers who talk about kittens and puppies and other small creatures that, you know, just kind of soften the heart. And then we'll shift over to doing loving kindness for ourselves. And notice how we're not jumping right into loving kindness for ourselves. There are, I think here in the West, and maybe, I don't know if this is true, but I feel like in Silicon Valley here, that there's kind of a sense of driving and we have to go, go, go. And loving kindness for ourselves maybe isn't the easiest. So we're not starting there. We're starting where it's easy. We're starting where we are, right? We're not asking ourselves to be something that we're not. We're not asking ourselves to create or do something that doesn't come easily or naturally for us. But it is a practice. So with that, let's take an alert, upright posture. And with loving kindness practice, you're encouraged to find a posture that is comfortable, that supports a sense of ease. And if you need to, you're welcome to shift your posture in a very quiet, mindful way during this practice. There's no need to get into a struggle and this idea of having to sit a particular way. And then let's start with three long, slow, deep breaths. Maybe with the exhale, you can find a slight or some letting go that can happen, some tension leaving with the exhale. Then allowing our breath to return to normal. And we can just trust that our body knows how to breathe. We don't have to do anything special. Just allow the body to breathe however it wants to. And we'll begin by just bringing your awareness to some of the sensations in your head. Sometimes we hold tension in our head. See if they can soften. If not, that's okay too. We don't have to make a big project out of it. We're just allowing that tension that can readily soften. We're just providing the opportunity for that to happen. You can check in with the eyes. Allow them to rest. And the jaw. And knowingly, we often keep a lot of tension in our jaw. How about the neck? Bring your awareness to your shoulders, allowing the shoulder blades to slide down the back. How about your arms? Your hands? And check in with the back. And the chest. And belly. We often hold tension in our bellies. Again, we don't have to make the tension go away. We're just seeing if it can just soften, loosen. Perhaps some of it won't go away. But see if you can find some ease with the tension that remains. You can check in with your legs. And your feet. If ever in today's practice you feel overwhelmed or even a little bit confused, it can be really helpful to just bring your awareness to feeling your feet on the ground. Now let's bring our awareness to the sensations of breathing. It can be the movement of the chest, the movement of the abdomen, or perhaps feeling the air going in and out of your nose. Choose one of those three, whichever is easiest, most obvious for you. And just rest your awareness on those sensations. It's natural that our minds will want to think and will become lost in thought. If you notice this happening, Just very gently bring your awareness back to the sensations of breathing. If you find yourself lost in thought, just very gently come back, rest your awareness on the sensations of breathing. You can just simply begin again. See if you can hang in there with the sensations of breathing through an entire in-breath and an entire out-breath. Now we're going to transition to loving kindness meditation for a benefactor. That is, someone for whom it's easy to feel love, easy to feel care, respect. Someone for that makes you smile when you think about them. As I said in the introduction, if there isn't anybody that comes readily to mind, you can use a lovable being, babies, kittens, puppies. Often a benefactor is somebody for whom, with whom we have an uncomplicated relationship. In fact, we may not have a personal relationship with the person. They may be a spiritual leader, or someone else that has supported us through their teachings. So you can bring the lovable being to mind, perhaps visualize them, and check in and see if there is a little bit of softness in your heart towards them. Maybe there's some warmth. Maybe not, too. Sometimes it isn't so easy to do that. But to support the potential for some warm feelings, we'll say phrases. Is there a way to create the conditions for feeling a sense of goodwill, care, kindness, love? So you can repeat these phrases after me silently in your mind, while keeping the benefactor or the lovable being in mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You're welcome to modify these phrases and choose words or expressions that are heartfelt for you. And of course, it doesn't have to be in English. It can be in whatever language expresses what's in your heart. So keeping the benefactor in mind, or the lovable being, and sending them good vibes, goodwill. But we're not trying to manufacture something. We're creating the conditions in which warm feelings can arise. But don't worry if warm feelings don't arise. Or perhaps even the opposite does arise. If that happens, see if you can just notice and make space for those other feelings to be there. If it's helpful, you can do mindfulness of the sensations of breathing. Again, bringing the benefactor to mind, perhaps visualizing the person or being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You can check in and see if there's some softening, some warmth, maybe a little bit of ease. You might feel it in the chest area, or it may just be a general sensation of wishing goodwill towards another. Now we're going to expand that sense of goodwill and include ourselves. Just by being a human being, we deserve to be happy and to be loved. That's all. That's all that's required. If some people find it easier to send loving kindness to themselves, if they visualize themselves at maybe at a happy moment, bring to mind maybe a snapshot of a joyous occasion where you're smiling and have some happiness and contentment. Maybe you can bring to mind some goodness that you've done, helped somebody, stayed steady through some difficulty, was generous with your resources, time, energy, money. Or maybe you can visualize yourself as a baby, as an infant. Whatever's easiest. We can say these phrases for ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Now I'll be quiet for a little bit so you can work at your own pace, and again, maybe using your own phrases. And maybe even drop the phrases if that feels supportive of softening and opening to loving kindness. if you find your mind wandering, see if you can gently just bring it back. Say the phrases, or perhaps touch into the feeling in your heart center. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion on your body. Feel your feet on the ground or the chair. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So I mentioned in the introduction that loving-kindness meditation can be a way to soften this inner critic, this self-critic that we have. And it certainly can do that. Even if it doesn't feel like that's what's happening while we're meditating, we're noticing the critic, perhaps even more so, it does have an effect. Just this neuroplasticity, it's how our brains work. When we are keep bringing the mind, setting the intention for goodwill, just makes it more and more likely that goodwill or a sense of goodwill will arise. Whether you intend for that to happen or not, that's what's going to happen if you do this practice. But loving kindness isn't the only thing that we can do to help with this inner critic, this self-critic. I know somebody that when she recognizes the critic arising, kind of like as an old companion, right, that has been with her for her life long, she visualizes it as a gremlin that is not too scary, is maybe a little bit silly. And she just says, "Hello, gremlin." And that somehow takes the power out of it, somehow takes some of the authority out of this critical voice we may have. I know somebody else who kind of imagines that she's bringing the the person whom she visualizes, bringing that person a cup of tea and encouraging them to take a nap. Like, you know, it must be exhausting to be criticizing all the time. So maybe you can just relax now. Yeah, because it turns out that this being self-critical isn't as effective as we imagine it is. It actually isn't making us a better person. It's increasing our anxiety. It's increasing our... This is like, they can measure this physiologically, and they can look at this also in the brain waves that we have. But you don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to take the scientist's word for it. You can examine this for yourself. How do you feel after you've been really harsh with yourself, kind of mean with yourself? Do you feel capable and ready to take on difficulties, or do you feel a little bit beat down? So I offered a few things. One is loving kindness meditation to work with this inner critic. One is to imagine this critic in a way that brings some levity to it. One is to maybe offer it some tea and suggest take a nap or something. So it might be helpful to contemplate and to think about this. What might you do in your daily life, in your meditation practice, when you notice this voice coming up saying, you can't do anything right, you're failing again, or whatever it is that this critical voice of yours says. That's what mine is saying. So why don't you break up into groups of three and just briefly talk about this. What's one way that you could look at or interact with, imagine, what would you say, how could you imagine this critical voice as a way to lovingly and kindly work with this inner critic? It is not helpful to harshly berate the critic or to critique the critic or to... That's not what we're doing here, right? I'm talking about the wholeness. We're trying to be wholeness. This critic is a part of ourselves. So how can we kind of like embrace, acknowledge, without succumbing to what the critic is saying? Acknowledge what's being said, but not allowing it to be as authoritative or allowing it to push us around. They're just thoughts. They're just thoughts. We will have other thoughts a few seconds later. These thoughts may repeat, but then we'll have intervening thoughts. So why don't you get into a group of three? What are some ways that you could work to either imagine the self-critic? What could you say to the critic? What could you do when you find yourself in the midst of feeling a lot of critic? And we can just talk about this briefly, and then I'll ring the bell. Maybe 10 minutes or so. Larger circle. And then maybe we'll listen to, or I'd love to hear from a few of you, how was that, A, to think about, come up with a strategy to look at your inner critic? Or B, you could talk about what was that like to talk with other people about it. Or you could just say something in general about how that meditation was also. Did you learn anything? From sharing with others? Some people have some good ideas. Was this a new idea to develop a relationship with your inner critic that kind of undermine some of its authority? We'll use a microphone so everybody can hear. Thank you.
I am listening to your saying podcast. What do you call that thing? Saying radio? No, I forgot.
I think it's podcast.
Yes, it's from here. Mm-hmm. And I'm so in love with your voice. Oh my God, I need to meet this woman. And I came here twice in the wrong hours.
Oh.
And you're not here. So finally today you're here. And then I kind of melt on the chair. First time that I go like 3 or 4 times like this. I never did that before. And I'm so grateful to be here. here. It was a pleasure to meet you and to share time with these people, wonderful people that comes here too.
Yes.
And we talk a lot about a lot of things, which a lot of fun.
Great.
Yes, to know that we are not alone.
Yeah, right? Sometimes yes. We can think that we're the only ones that have these types of thoughts or ideas.
Yes.
But I also want to say it's one of the great blessings of my life, I feel like, to be able to kind of share the Dharma and to teach here. It's really meaningful for me. So thank you for your guidance.
Welcome.
I think I've lived most of my life not knowing that I had an inner critic or voice. That's what I only knew my life as. And so to come here, and I took the 2-week class last week for mindful self-compassion. And so the whole idea of de-isolation, you're not the only one. And to realize that I do have this inner critic was a big awakening. It's still a struggle, obviously. I guess it takes a long time to get out of that phase, but I'm just grateful that I've discovered that.
Yeah, but there's an alternative, right? That we don't always have to be beating ourselves up.
My one question is, the phrases, do they eventually just stick inside? I don't understand how, I mean, is it like praying? Or I mean, that's what I feel.
Yeah, no, this is a good question, right? And many of us have different relationships to these phrases. So it's more about as a way to support a feeling of goodwill. But we're using this like, may I be or may you be. And it's more as a way to, I'm pointing to my heart like this. It's a way to kind of soften and open instead of you must be this or be happy. Or, you know, it's a less command and more a intention or a wish. But if it feels uncomfortable, you're welcome to, you know, change it any way that you want that feels more, I don't know, heartfelt. And some people don't use the phrases. They find that they get tangled up in them and they can't quite remember and they get too worried about all the words. So instead, they just like to drop into a feeling of warmth or goodwill towards others. So the phrases are meant to actually support that feeling. But also I want to highlight that they doesn't mean that because you're saying phrases that you will feel a sense of goodwill. It doesn't quite work that way. It's not mechanistic. But it does help create the conditions in which you can have that feeling of warmth. So you're welcome to play around with them. And the phrases that we're using here are just kind of like classically what's used. If you go to other places, they may have different phrases, but this is in the most common collection of phrases, I'll say that. Yes, Sylvie.
I have a question about the phrases as you were saying this. I noticed today that I kind of diverged and say kind of my own sentences. And I was wondering if what is the difference between saying something that I want to happen? So, for example, I'm having a hard time sleeping these days. And so when we are saying, may I have ease or something like this, like what came is like, may I sleep with ease? I wonder if it has kind of that, you know, please let me sleep with ease tonight. Like how to make it so it's not, I don't know. Like I feel like if I go and say specific things, am I getting away from the metta? Is there like a fine line?
Yeah. So metta is less about us like having a particular outcome that we're wishing for, and we don't want to our ideas of having things to be different get co-opted into loving kindness. I'm tempted to say this isn't exactly what you're saying, but we don't want it to turn into another self-improvement project. Like, please may I be better at public speaking. Please may I, you know, we don't like, it's not like that. It's more just as a way to open and soften our hearts. So, but maybe when you're saying, may I live with ease, Maybe that can be included, like in the sense of live with ease, because with ease, then other things become easeful. Sounds funny to say that, but yeah, so I guess it's less saying this for a particular outcome, goal-oriented, because then it becomes a project, right? And it's more just a softening and opening of our hearts.
I guess it didn't feel like a project. That's why I'm kind of asking. It's just like, it just felt, that feels actually nice. I'm wishing myself a good night's sleep.
And you're welcome to explore this. You're welcome to play around with this and see, do that for a while and see how it is.
Okay.
There is no absolute rules. So it's 7:01. I want to respect people's time. You're welcome to come and talk to me. I'll stay here, and you're welcome to talk to me. I just want to say one thing briefly that I think many of you saw the note on the door, right, that the stained glass windows are going to get replaced. So the plan is that we will still meet here on Wednesday evenings, but we will just be out there in the social hall. This room will be cordoned off while they do construction. But if something goes awry, it will certainly be on our website and if it gets canceled. But our plan is for it to not be canceled. Just the things that happen during the day will be canceled while they work on the windows. But the evening, we'll just be out there. So that's the plan. But subject to revision, you know how construction goes, right? So thank you all.